lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
There are certain terms or words that seem to come up from time to time in the Christian life for Christians that sometimes we need to look at and give definitions for. I'd like for us to look at the term or the word legalism today. Well, what is legalism? Well, the term legalism or legalist is not found in the Bible, but the serious error of legalism is certainly dealt with, especially by the Apostle Paul. He constantly and always boasted in the cross and championed the grace of God. We read in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 where it says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Well, perhaps the best way to see what Paul had to say about how the flesh wrongly uses the law is to read carefully through the epistle to the Galatians. Let's look first of all at legalism and justification. It is the deadly error of legalism, that subject, that teaches that justification or salvation is by the works of the law. The legalists of Judea said it this way, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. And we're going through this today, and I'm speaking of this term legalism because there are certain individuals today who take it out of context, who try to say if you're living for God, if you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're dressing like, you're looking like, you're smelling like, and you're acting like a Christian, then you're a legalist. Well, this is not what the Bible definition of legalism is. Once again, Paul clearly confronted this error in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, where he says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Well, the law can show us how unjust we are, and it can show us our need for justification, but the law can never justify. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, part of that verse says, "For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Legalism and justification. The law cannot justify, neither can it sanctify. The Lord makes this plain in his teachings, and so does Paul when he teaches people that they are to live a good, godly Christian life, but he never places somebody back under the law. The law can show us that we are unholy, but it can never make us holy. The key to living the Christian life is not found at Mount Sinai, but it is found at Mount Calvary. Romans chapter 6 speaks of this, and Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul argued strongly that the Christian life must be continued on the basis of faith, not on a legal basis. He says, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Paul says this under the inspiration of God and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Well, the Christian life is to continue just as it commenced. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him." Holiness does not come by seeking to keep the law in the energy of the flesh. The Bible tells us just how successful the flesh is in attempting to carry out the precepts of God. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Well, then we need to look at the believer and the law. There are two key facts that must be kept in mind here. First, the believer is not under the law. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." In fact, the believer has died to the law that he might live unto God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." The Christian is not under the legal rule, but he is under the new creature rule. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15 it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." People are saved the same way, you see, and that is by the faith in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer is not under the law. And then we see that the believer is not lawless. We died to the law so that we might be married to Christ. And out of this relationship, we bring forth fruit unto God. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4 says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Well, those legalists who try to put themselves under the law do not keep the law, according to Galatians 6:13 and Acts chapter 15 and verse 10. But those believers who walk in the Spirit keep the law by the way of the fruit of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4 says, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, you can compare later on Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 with what I've just said with the thought. Keep that in mind. Well, what legalism is not? Being obedient to God's specific commands is not legalism, according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And we see that living a holy life that is set apart unto the Lord's service is not legalism. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3 verse 7 talk about this. Well, then we see that living a separated life unto Christ and separated from the fads and fashions of the world is not legalism. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, we then see conforming one's life to be in and harmony with certain standards decided upon by Spirit-led leaders of a local assembly of believers is not legalism. Acts 15, verse 29 speaks of this, and this is the reason that I say it's so important for you to be in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church that teaches the whole counsel of God, not just part of it. It's great when a pastor or a person stands and gives you the plan of salvation. There's nothing greater than that, than leading a person to Christ. But the whole precept of God not only tells a person how to be saved, that precept that is found in the Word of God, those precepts help a Christian to understand that now, because of salvation, they are to live pleasing to the Lord. They are to strive daily, not to be saved, but because they are saved, to please the Lord. How do you do that? Well, once again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And we look further and we see that foregoing my personal rights for the sake of my brother is not legalism either. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says it like this, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Well, Dr. Henry Morse, and we read something of him, and he says this about Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. He says, "Although all things are indeed legal for a true Christian, he will try to do only those things which please his Lord. When he encounters questions not specifically mentioned in Scripture, this would be smoking movies and so forth. He should consider the various scriptural principles that are given as guideposts to help him make such decisions. One of those is given in this verse, and that's Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. Now, Dr. Morse goes on and says that he should be able to do it, that the Christian should be able to do this. That's the Christian, to do it in full confidence that it is pleasing to God. All things that we do is to be pleasing to God. Well, what about the believer and the law? We see that the believer has been set free. The believer is free from the law. The believer is not under the law. And the reason I can say that is because Jesus Christ has set us free. Be careful here, because there are some people who would believe that simply because the Scriptures say that we have been set free, that means we have been set free from sin. And there is no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. If we take verses out of context, such as John chapter 8 and verse 36, where it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed," that does not say that we're free to do everything we want to do and still look, act, and smell and be like a Christian. Christian, to this lost world, dying world, we need to be what God wants us to be. We need to have a testimony that says, "I am a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. And because I'm on my way to heaven, I want you too to go to heaven. I want you to be able to say, Lord, I have trusted you as my Savior. One day, I will see you in heaven because I know you by faith that I have received through the Word of God. By trusting Jesus as my Savior, I am saved and on my way to heaven." Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 says, "Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." You see, the law is for the lawless. One day, we came to Jesus Christ and we admitted that we were lawbreakers, that we needed salvation. We were sinners and we said, "Lord, save me. I'm a lawbreaker." Now, you may not have said it that way. I didn't say it that way. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. I needed Jesus. The law showed me that I could not keep the Ten Commandments, that I was a sinner. After I got saved, I understood that I needed a daily cleansing from the Lord because of sin that creeps in. This is not a world where we escape sin. We are still in the presence of sin. And therefore, when we sin, we in essence are placing ourselves back under the law. So then, a true legalist is a person who adds to the plan of salvation. In other words, the person who says you are saved by baptism, taking communion, by keeping the Ten Commandments, or any other way of salvation other than the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, that is a legalist. The person who advocates being different from the world, not partaking in sinful appearances or actions, is not a legalist. God help us to stay true to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.